Well, how you doing? Zach Costin,
TJ Laramie,
Adam Henrique,
Joe Siddle, Megan
Augusta, Tyrone Crawford.
Holy mackinaw, you're listening to Wind City Sports.
What up, everyone? Welcome back to the Wind City Sports Podcast, Windsor's only local sports podcast presented by Annisburg Chevy Buick GMC. My name is Drake Moore, and I'm your host for the Wind City Sports Podcast every Monday on Spotify, iTunes, and anywhere podcasts are found, featuring interviews with local athletes, coaches, entrepreneurs, and more. Find us on social media at WinCity_sports, WINCITY. All one word, give us a like, follow, subscribe on whatever social media you might use, and a review on any app you might use, hopefully a good one, and tell your friends and family about the Wind City Sports Podcast. Today is Monday, April 4th, 2022, and it's episode 250 of Wind City Sports. 250 episodes later, nearly 6 years doing the podcast, a little reflection time, I suppose. It's been fun, it's been great, I'm going to continue to do it. And keep doing what I'm doing, I guess, and everyone else keep doing what they're doing, telling stories of those from Windsor, in Windsor, and beyond, anything with a tie to any kind of a local sport. We love to share those stories here on the Wind City Sports Podcast, and today we're doing it with a Windsor guy, also a LaSalle guy, I guess you can say, a LaSalle native. He played in the OHL for the Detroit Compuware Ambassadors and Detroit Junior Red Wings, right across the border there. Goaltender that went on to play a few games in the NHL, a long career in the AHL, and even overseas. And since then, the last 20 years, has taken on, at first, a coaching role with the team that he last played for, then jumping into more of the business side of things as the VP of Hockey Operations. Today, we're talking to Derek Wilkinson on the Wind City Sports Podcast, and obviously a guy that has been on my radar for a little bit, but I forgot to mention to him, the reason that I decided to reach out again is because I was going through some old hockey cards and I found one of his cards. So I was like, yeah, this guy's from Windsor. And I know I had reached out before and thought, hey, let's give it another shot. So now the VP and our VP of Hockey Operations for the AHL's Charlotte Checkers is Derek Wilkinson. He'll be joining me on the show in a little bit to talk all about growing up in Windsor, the minor hockey system here, his career, you know, in the OHL, starting so close in Detroit back when they had, you know, their junior team, and all the coaches that he's been able to learn from. So obviously some big names that people will recognize in the hockey world, and his career playing in the NHL a little bit and beyond, and what he's been able to do, make a living in the game that he loves. Everyone, obviously everyone in Windsor loves hockey, so it's great to make quite a living around sport. We're going to do that in a little bit, and we're also going to break down our Windsor Spitfires at the beginning of this show. Hot on a 10-game winning streak right now. Talk about that in a sec, but first I got to tell you about Amherstburg Chevy Buick GMC, the official sponsors of the Wind City Sports Podcast and the upcoming annual Ed Jovanovski Golf Tournament at Point West in Amherstburg. Amherstburg Chevy Buick GMC, they have extended their holiday countdown event into the new year, still going strong, even in April. They have great deals on a new 2019 Chevy Traverse, the brand new 2022 Buick Enclave, and amazing deals on 2021 used cars at $25,000 or less, and options for everyone's price range. Amherstburg Chevy Buick GMC is proud to serve drivers all throughout South Amherstburg, Windsor, Kingsville, LaSalle, and beyond. They believe in providing top quality service to everyone that walks through their doors, and that includes assistance with picking out new rides, financing it, and keeping it in top quality condition. Check out AmherstburgGM.com for an online showroom, or check them out on Sandwich Street South in Amherstburg. That's Amherstburg Buick GMC, Chevy Buick GMC at AmherstburgGM.com. All right, let's get back to our Windsor Spitfires, because they are on fire right now, red hot. This is the team's longest win streak since a 12-game win streak back in 2009, and of course we know the team that accompanied the Windsor Spitfires back then. But man, a 10-game winning streak on a complete tear right now, completely unstoppable, as we approach the playoffs very soon. This Thursday actually being their last home game. From there, they'll go on a little road trip until the 16th of April and then kick off the OHL playoffs. And currently, as we speak, still far above Flint in securing that first place spot, at least in the Western Conference, trailing Hamilton over in the East. So as of now, still, you know, have two teams yet to make it, likely could be playing Sarnia or Kitchener, and will be a good series to kick things off. But since we last spoke, three games for the Spitfires. First, last Thursday, defeating the Sarnia Sting 5-1. Over the weekend, Friday and Saturday at least, they went up to Kitchener and defeated the Rangers 5-3, and then out to Owen Sound on Saturday for a 6-3 final. And speaking of red hot, we can't forget about Wyatt Johnson. For the third time this year, named the OHL Player of the Month, over 100 points and points and goals in his last, I think, 9-10 games. This kid is on fire. And other accolades go to Matt Maggio, Windsor's own actually, and Andrew Perrott, both hitting the 100 career points mark for individually, but obviously for our Spitfires. And coming up next, we have our last home game of the season this Thursday as the Spits welcome Guelph to the WFCU Center at 7:30. So it'll be our last home game, regular season home game of the season. From there, they'll have games on the road throughout the next week in Guelph, Saginaw, Erie, and then ending it off again in Guelph. Playoffs are set to start, I believe, on the 21st. Anyway, a week following that. So Spitfires red hot right now, 10-game winning streak, unbelievable stuff. We have some more sports news, obviously, to talk about later on in the show, but right now we're going to get into our interview for this week, our 250th episode with Derek Wilkinson, former goaltender, NHL goaltender, OHL goaltender, and then turned coach and now VP of hockey operations for the AHL's Charlotte Checkers. Here we go. All right, so I'm now joined by a LaSalle native, longtime goaltender. He played for the Detroit CompuWare Ambassadors and the Junior Red Wings before going over to Belleville. He was drafted to the Tampa Bay Lightning and played 22 games for the club. Now senior VP of hockey ops for the Charlotte Checkers, Derek Wilkinson. Welcome to the show, man.
Hey, thanks for having me.
Absolutely. So lots to talk about, but let's go to the beginning, I guess. From the LaSalle area, just tell me a little bit about growing up and, you know, what schools you went to, whatever, all that fun stuff.
Yeah, I in the town, it's called LaSalle now, but when I was a little guy, it was called Sandwich West, and yeah. At some point, we got enough stop signs, I think, to name it LaSalle, be a big city, but yeah, it was great, it was wonderful. You know, little town and obviously rich in sports and baseball and hockey and everything else. And I went to Prince Andrew Elementary School and then went to Sandwich Secondary School for a little while and then with junior and stuff bounced all over the place. But yeah, it was, I played for baseball for the Turtle Club.
Okay.
And then hockey, we were the, Sandwich West Sabres and then LaSalle Sabres. So, really good competitive sports teams. Gosh, every age group that I can recall ahead of me and younger than me, we seem to be a pretty good sport town for our size.
Oh, yeah, definitely a good area. And I was going to ask if you played other sports, too, growing up, or if it was mostly hockey, so obviously you kind of alluded to that.
Yeah, the best games were played in the streets and the parking lots and all that stuff, but yeah, from a little guy standpoint, yeah, baseball and hockey were the two, and they just obviously seem to, especially in Canada, out of the United States for so long, they just mesh well, right, from a weather standpoint. So yeah, it was hockey in the fall and winter, and baseball in the spring and summer.
Yeah, how did you end up a goaltender then?
A terrible story. we had a really good team when I was young, and we did the like a novice, and then Adam. We everybody takes a turn being the goalie. We had a good team, and no one wanted to be the full time goalie. And we got to a position. I believe there was an age change, and I think maybe they held everybody back a year. I can't remember exactly how it went with the Ontario OMHA there, but you had to designate a full time goalie, and no one wanted to do it. And my dad was a coach. And the kids on the team convinced them that I should do it. And I don't know how much of a choice it really was for me, but I did it. And I'll never forgive any of them, quite frankly, for having do that. I was a scoring centerman. I didn't want anything to do with being the full-time goalie, but in order for us to keep playing, I had to do it. And it was fun. We had a good group. We had such a good team. I really didn't get a whole lot of action, but that's exactly how it happened. So it was not something I wanted to do. It was something that was essentially this is what we have if we want to keep going. Wow. If my dad is the coach, there was no real option for me.
Well, anything for the team, I guess. Yeah, like, normally you hear like the coach's kid is the captain, starting center, blah blah blah. So that's a different story for sure. You don't hear that too often.
No, I got screwed in that deal.
That's funny, man. But hey, like, look at how what you made into it. I mean, that's where it started. I also want to talk a little bit about playing some of the other places you played before you got to Detroit. But I'm sure just doing that, and I guess like, how old were you at that time that you made the transition to goalie? I guess
I was in that 11. Okay. It was an 11 year old wheelhouse. They played novice, played Adam mostly as a forward, a little bit. Again, tried it out, you know, here and there. I believe it was Pee-wees that we had to make that distinction with the rules. Yeah. And so it was probably right around that 11 or 12 when I became full-time goalie. And then, it had its benefits too. I mean, again, goalie, so I got to experience that, which was nice, which, you know, if I would have stayed as a forward, I wouldn't have been able to do that early. So so it was good. It caught on quickly for me, and got a lot of exposure in the area in Windsor, just being able to skate with the players and, you know, the old pros and guys that were turning pros, and not too many goalies in the area at that time. There's some good ones, but not too many. So I got some opportunities that kind of fell my way because of it. So it worked out all right.
But, yeah. Well, obviously that led you to getting drafted to the OHL and to Detroit, right?
Yeah, I ended up, and as a kid, it was just straight, you know, I just tried out for a lot of teams, and just always had vision in my head. You know, I tried out for junior C teams and junior B teams, got cut a lot, ended up making the Windsor Bulldogs, who are now the LaSalle team, way back in the day, I think as a 14 or 15-year-old, college was a real option for me. Michigan State, Michigan, those schools for whatever reason were. And so that was a real tough time for me trying to figure out what I was going to do. Like I said, I got to go to Spitfires camp on a few occasions as a young kid. Guys like Pat Jablonski and Peter Ing and those guys who were awesome people were away at pro camp, so I needed a guy to come in, and I was there. So I got to do that a few times and see how that league worked. Behind the scenes and those guys, and so I had an upfront view of that before making the decision to commit to the Ontario to do that, and then ended up in Chatham, I think as a 16-year-old, if I recall correctly, and then got drafted to Detroit to Jimmy Rutherford, Mr. Carmanos, that group, and then away I went from there. But it was great. I tried out. I got cut from my high school team in grade 9, and I tried out for all kinds of teams. I loved it. I loved the competition and learning, trying to go against older guys all the time. And for whatever reason, things started to fall my way. Got good exposure there, and a whole bunch of our guys got drafted into the Ontario League or went to college. So it was a really good experience.
Mm-hmm. That's cool. Because I was going to bring up a lot of that stuff. You know, a lot of those minor teams around here that you got to play for, and obviously the Windsor Bulldogs. Kind of having some some pristine to them nowadays, at least, you know, being able to wear that jersey now that's not around anymore, and again, just kind of shows the hockey community around here and how deep it is, I suppose.
It really is. I mean, there were so many good players, and that was the junior B league was incredible back in the day. Not that it's not good now, it was incredible back in the day. Like teams like, again, Chatham was always a big, a great team. Sarnia, and then you go to Junior C, and Junior C was really good. I got to play for Bell River that year for a little bit. But I don't even know if I spaced a shot. I played in one game. I don't even think God, that's how good they were. What an incredible team they had, the Bell River Canadians. And I believe they're called Lakeshore now. What a tradition there, too. So, Essex 73s. I mean, it just Leamings and Flyers. It goes on and on. But so many good players, and not even just outside the Ontario League with the Spitfires in Detroit and in obviously London. But yeah, I'm incredible. Junior C, high school hockey was big back then too. Assumption had an unbelievable team. Another bunch of those at Herman, I believe. I'll probably leave you, but that was big too. So junior, it was there was a lot of really good hockey to play. You know, outside of your minor hockey league. You know, I guess call it a career or path or whatever. But man. Tons of good players, and my cousins played, and uncles. I mean, geez, it was amazing. So it was a very, very good area for us to grow up in, and it still is.
Absolutely.
At that time, it was great.
And a close proximity to the States as well, right?
Yeah, we had a lot of guys go back. a lot of guys from Michigan come over and play, you know, in juniors and for the junior teams. And a lot of, you know, we'd go over there and play the American teams. Gee, I remember back when Lindros was with CompuWare. How good they were. I mean, that was incredible to see those guys. And the rivalries were great going back and forth. And, you know, that was between Detroit and Windsor. It was great. And then the summer hockey sessions with all the up-and-coming pros and guys that were pro were epic, too. Just the amount of talent that was on the ice. And it was really, really good time for the kid in my era to be a part of.
Oh, yeah. And again, it must have been cool to like start your OHL career so close to home. I mean, at that time, having the junior team so close, it was like, obviously you'd like to play for Windsor, but this is the next best bet, I guess.
Yeah, it was really neat. Yeah, I've had a chance. I was I worked as a stick boy with Spitfire's breed. And so I got to know both groups. So having a you know, really good relationship with Mr. Caramanos and Mr. Rutherford, you know, I was, you know, kind of hoping I would have got drafted by the Spitfires. It didn't work. They took, gosh, they took a good little goalie. Matt Mullen, my draft year. They took him early. And I went shortly after that to Detroit and couldn't have been happier. And, you know, just it was, you know, good group of people to be around and to be able to stay at home and just drive across the border back when it was easy. That was fun. I got to play at a Joe Louis there.
Oh, yeah.
Practiced at Oak Park, and that was a really good experience to be able to play junior and get to stay home for a little. Was a lot of fun.
Yeah, absolutely. And some perks to playing in Detroit, that's for sure. And that would be on many surfaces. So in Detroit for about a year and a half there, coached by the likes of Jim Rutherford, like you mentioned, Paul Maurice, Tom Webster. So. You know, you had a career as a coach. I mean, that's going back way to the beginning, but did they kind of influence you at all or just kind of overall help you with the future?
Well, yeah, being around those guys was great. I coaching was never something I thought I was going to end up doing.
Especially at that time.
Yeah, I had an eye on, you know, certainly like in management. I thought that's where, if I was going to stay in hockey after hockey, maybe that's where I would go. Coaching was not something that that I thought would come my way. It did, and those are great guys to lean on. I mean, Paul Maurice is phenomenal, yeah. Everybody knows. But yeah, to have those influences, Mr. Webster was great. You know, Jimmy was kind of coaching us, but I kind of think in a similar role to what I ended up doing, where you were coaching, I think, because you needed to. so you could find the next best guy to take over. But yeah, so those guys were just phenomenal. And Pete DeBoer was around some then too, and not as an informal, but he was kind of, you know, cutting his teeth a little bit as well. And we see how well he's done and also, right? So
yeah.
Just to have that kind of talent around. Andy Weidenbach was our coach for a little bit too, and he's wildly successful coach over in Michigan. You know, with the tier one programs, tier two programs, but also in the prep school world. So, I mean, he was a phenomenal coach too. So, yeah, we were very, very blessed there to have those kind of coaches. And you know, naturally, then I get traded to Belleville, and to have a legend like Larry Mavity, which was an a 180 from all of those guys.
it was
a whole other life experience, but that was more like my dad coaching us. But it was, I saw a lot of different spectrums, young and upcoming future superstar coaches, and you know, the old school guy with Larry Mavity. So it was a lot of fun. Learned an awful lot and saw a lot of different things, and stuff obviously we can't repeat today, but it was great. So yeah,
a lot of experiences, that's for sure.
A lot of different yeah, a lot of different spectrums in 3 short years of junior hockey.
Yeah, and it's good to see, you know, all that kind of different stuff. And like you mentioned, you went to Belleville and spent a year or two there, and that's where you wrapped up the OHL career. So what was it like, you know, again, going from close to home to not so close to home?
Yeah, it was a strange situation. You know, obviously with being with Detroit, and then, you know, we rebranded from the Ambassadors to the Junior Red Wings. That was my draft. NHL draft year was my after my first year of junior. So we were a second year expansion team. We had a lot of talent, but you know, they were shaping it, and we were competitive most nights. But you could see where they were going with it. So going into my second year junior was pretty exciting. I thought we were going to be a very good team, and I had what amounted to a no trade agreement in the agreement I signed with Detroit. But when they approached me about the possibility of being traded, you know, that did not sit well with me. So we had a little, go around for a week, which was tough, but, ultimately ended up talking to Belleville, and, I knew I was going to play every game there, which was great. I understood what Detroit was trying to do. It was a great trade for them. It turned out great for them, turned out great for Belleville, turned out great for me and everybody involved. So it worked itself out, but, leaving a team that I knew would be good, and we had just played Belleville and they were not good, it was difficult. But, you know, as a goalie, I thought, well, heck, if I can go play every game, get a bunch of work, maybe that'll work well. So went there, and what a great city, great people, had a good time. And got, like I said, I got to play every single game. I mean, I think my second year of junior, I played 64 games, maybe 63 or 64, 66 games that I could play. So, I mean, as a goalie, you can't complain about that. So, that was a lot of long nights. I made a lot of guys' careers with the amount of goals I was scored on to play. So, it worked out all right. It worked out for everybody. So, it was good.
So, that was pretty much the end of it for the OHL, of course. You did the OHL thing, and then we're off to pro, starting things off in Atlanta with the IHL. So, what do you remember about, like, first kind of going from the O to pro, I guess?
It was an eye opener, yeah. Getting to go to NFL camps after your draft, especially Tampa being an expansion team. That was wild. Phil Esposito, I don't think, gets enough credit. I mean, he gets credit. He's gotten credit, but he doesn't get enough credit for what he did and his vision back in those days. It was remarkable. Good group. Much different experience than the other guys that were going to like Leafs camps and Habs camps in Buffalo and more traditional markets. We were doing a lot of different things in Tampa that were anything but hockey by design, but it was great. Finally turning pro, was incredible. I just called up probably before I was ready, but, you know, due to circumstances, Atlanta was an incredible city, well-run team that the IHL back in the day was guys were signing to play in the IHL as opposed to in the NHL just because of the money situation. And so there was teams there that were absolutely loaded with talent. So that was good. And then, you know, obviously going up and being kind of that guy starting at the bottom and trying to work your way up and, you know, be a factor was fun. I got, I got some chances that I probably shouldn't have got. Maybe you don't get them with other franchises, but that's the way mine worked. And it was a great group to be a part of and to kind of see it kind of grow from, with playing my first training, training camps were in Lakeland, Florida, where the Tigers have spring training. You'd never think hockey rink, and they did. It's in the Civic Center because growing up as a kid, just, of Lakeland, I didn't know where it was. Yeah. I knew that's what the Tigers have spring training, and here we are in the National Hockey League trying to live out my dream, and I'm in a place called Lakeland, Florida. Never, I wasn't dreaming of that, that's for sure. We ended up playing in at the time, I think it was called Tropicana Field in a baseball stadium. Mm-hmm. That was the home for a few years and made the playoffs that first year. We had 28,000 people in a baseball stadium watching us play the Flyers. I mean, that was incredible. That was an experience that I'll never forget. And then obviously, transitioning into the building they're in now through different ownership groups, and everybody sees what the Lightning has become now. But, that all started back in the day. And Phil deserves a lot of credit for that. And it was fun. It was quite an experience, and very different from the traditional type of experience with a lot of guys who were in the American League and NHL, and our stories are vastly different. And although we were doing the same thing, hard to believe we were in the same sport and league when the stories and places I got to go compared to some others. So.
Yeah, no doubt. I mean, one thing, I love going to Florida, and like the hockey community there is just crazy. It's wild how big it is, really.
Well, it's amazing, and I think that's where Phil's vision was so different. He knew the hockey on the ice with Phil. Like that wasn't a problem. What he was more vested in was getting the players out in the community, because in large part, I try to be careful how I say it. In large part, hockey players are very approachable to the general public. Most of the guys are very, very down to earth guys, and Phil knew that. And Phil knew if he could get those guys, us, our group, out in the community and meet people, that was going to have the long term effect. Not so much, on the ice. And everything was community related. Like on the ice was very. He competed on the ice, but. All of our days in training camp were being out, meeting people, being in bars and restaurants and golf tournaments and all this kind of stuff. And it was all just to meet people so that people could realize, like, wow, these are the kind of guys that I want to get behind. And year after year, it just continued to grow and grow. And then, people got interested. And when people get interested, they start doing street hockey. And then street hockey turns into ice rinks, and ice rinks multiply. And I mean, you look at the state of Florida now, and, I mean, they're a hockey hotbed. And that just all started. With the vision, it wasn't. It was incredible what he did. Seeing him do it, being a part of it, was awesome. I've taken a lot of those experiences with me. But that's that was his point. He goes, the difference in hockey is not on the ice. These people think we're barbaric and we fight and we're And he goes, we're not. We're your neighbor. We're your guy that will cut your grass, have a beer with you, do whatever. and he took that mentality. And boy, you look at him now, and they're what a machine. Off the ice, on the ice, youth hockey, up and down the state, an absolute machine, and that was his vision. I don't know if he ever thought it would get to where it is, but he took a little bit different approach, and boy, did it pay off, a couple decades later.
Yeah, and like you said, like you were there for the beginning of it all, really, got to see some diamonds in the rough throughout the few years that you were there, getting called up every year for a stint at least.
Yeah, it was, like I said, my first call-up was a homestand, 5 games, and it was great. I got called up, and Terry Criss brought me in the office, and him and Wayne Cashman, Phil was in there, and Tony was in there, and Terry Criss was great. What a character. He just looked me dead in the eye and said, I hear you're playing good in Atlanta, and I'm still doing okay, and he said, okay, good. He goes, well, just to let you know, you're here for 2 weeks, you're here for a homestand, and there isn't a chance in hell you're going to play. Oh, that sounds good, Coach. He was right. I never got the game, but what an experience. So it was fun. Like I said, I got some opportunities that maybe the others wouldn't have got, but we made the most of it, and it was a thrill, an absolute thrill to be there, to see all that.
Yeah, no matter what, I mean, it's all about the experiences, so just to be able to do it, so you did it, see what you've seen, and especially in Florida, do what you did, it's fun stuff, right?
Yeah, that didn't suck at all.
No, can't complain, like you said, man. So,
and Atlanta was, at the time, too, back in the day, Atlanta was an absolute, I went and played in Cleveland, too. Atlanta and Cleveland, best front office, Atlanta, the Atlanta Knights hockey team was as popular, more popular than the Braves, the Hawks, the Falcons when we were there. They did an unbelievable marketing, and to kind of see that. And that's when the Olympics were coming into Atlanta as well, and to kind of live and see that, those things too, was pretty amazing. But they did an incredible job there as well. So anyway, it was quite an experience to see, and not knowing it at the time. Stuff I would take with me into what I'm doing today. So it was pretty cool.
Yeah, absolutely. Again, throughout this whole road, I'm sure learning a lot, while having some fun, but learning a lot of experiences. You spent most of your playing career in the I, going up and down to the NHL at times, but then went to the ECHL Charlotte Checkers, who you're still with today. That would have been your first, if not only, year where you were kind of like a player coach, right?
Yeah, and it was kind of a by design. I wasn't quite sure what I was going to end up doing. Through my wife's best friend, they were in Charlotte at the time. And anyway, through a connection, I came and to Charlotte, and more or less, I was going to play, but not really quite sure what I really wanted to do anymore. We got here, and unbelievable place, and went over to Ireland for a year just to play in Europe, to give it a shot, which in Belfast, which was an expansion team at the time as well. And I came back to Charlotte. We bought a place, a little townhouse, thinking, all right, at least we got something to hang our hat on, because we've been moving around so much. And we never left, and got with the Checkers, and the Charlotte Checkers were ECHL at the time. And it was just doing a little, just being player coach is more of a term, I think, doing more like administrative stuff.
Of course.
Not really doing a whole heck of a lot of coaching, but just helping and, doing whatever you could and kind of learning and being in the community. And then that kind of morphed into, doing more stuff on the business side, really.
Yeah.
But when you're free help, you learn how much
work. Yeah.
I kind of started doing that, and then naturally, just being in being around, and it was helping out Don McAdam, who was the coach at the time, was, I guess, kind of, I guess you'd call me assistant coach, but I was doing more all the hockey administrative stuff, and then helping on the business side wherever I possibly could, particularly with the books and stuff, and learning that stuff, and that's kind of how that morphed. Into that, I had actually went and got my real estate license, working real estate company here, which was great. So doing a little bit of everything, and then the hockey just kind of kept getting back to that, and 20 years later, I'm still doing it in the same place, which is incredibly lucky. So.
Yeah, man. Yeah, it's crazy to be in the same place for so long, to be honest, is pretty rare. And again, talking about the player coach kind of thing, it started the transition into where you are now. But you did mention the Belfast Giants. I do want to talk a little bit about that and your season overseas.
Yeah, that was remarkable. Just a contact. I got a call from their head coach, and I think it was the last guy in on the team. And I've played great. The Cleveland was Chicago, Tampa, Atlanta. I mean, I've played in great places. What a life experience. I was the last guy in, so I got an apartment that was right on the corner. I knew of Ireland. I knew of Northern Ireland. I knew of some of these stories, some of the history. But when I got there, I obviously didn't know. And it unbelievable people, beautiful, beautiful scenery. But I lived right on the corner. If I looked out my window, to the left was the Protestant side, to the right was the Catholic side. I was right on the corner, and I didn't really realize that for a couple of weeks. What a world! They are very passionate people, and our team was a unique opportunity to kind of bring the area together in a non-political fashion, and we did it. And to see 6,000 people in a building, high-fiving, cheering, drinking, singing their songs, chanting, the whole bit. And these are people that lived across the street from each other and never talked to each other in decades, generations. To see them all at a hockey game and get behind a team as a community, as opposed to put all the other stuff aside, was just wild. I don't have the words for it. It was incredible to see it, to live it, and to be a part of it. And really start to understand it once we sunk our teeth in, because we didn't play at home for a little while, so we got to learn about the area. Mm-hmm. And the people come in and talk to us about it, and just what it meant to everyone, and to be careful, even if you're not like here where you can maybe joke about politics and stuff and get away with it. There, that was not, you didn't talk about it. And people, incredibly nice and kind, but wildly passionate in what they believed in, and to just kind of see how our group, mainly Canadians, kind of came together and united a town was amazing, through hockey.
Yeah.
It was absolutely incredible. It was an incredible experience. The program itself has done wonderful every year after. They built the brand new building in the Odyssey Center, right down on the docks, right by where they built the Titanic. It's a story after story after story, but what a life experience. And to just to live that, to do that, truthfully, I can't understand why I did it. Not sure why I went, but boy, I'm glad I did. And just a remarkable group of guys and a life experience that, you know, you can never duplicate.
Yeah, man, that's quite the way to kind of wrap it up, I mean, for your playing career, right?
Yeah, you know, when I got older, I kind of thought, all right, you know, this is it, most likely, and just kind of embraced that and had a great time, and like I said, a good group of people, and everybody, you know, guys had played over there a lot, in England. We had a lot of guys that, you know, had gone, and like Canadian guys had made a career over there, and playing in some great hockey cities over there, and just to kind of pull together an expansion team, Bob Zeller, to put it together and put it in there. Really remarkable the amount of work that was put into it, and it was amazing, the stories and just seeing the things happen and living it with real life and seeing, you know, I was walking to the practice rink one day and they have these beautiful murals, and I stood there and I took a picture of the mural. Like, I was like, this is beautiful, and I got stopped. Person was like, I can't do the accent, but they're like, you're clearly not from around here, huh? And I'm like, no, just walking, this is great. And they're like, never do that again. Do never take a picture of that again. And I got back in their car and I went, oh boy, I'll never do that again. Like, it was wild. Like, and then to learn that was, you know, disrespectful, right, to do that. And I didn't know that, right? So you're just learning these little things and people have been taken out for a lot less than that.
Oh, yeah.
Just to appreciate, you know, their passion and what they believed in, either way, either side, was remarkable. And I lived lived right on the corner of it. Like, I'd try to get a cab, and, you know, after a night out or whatever, and they'd only drive me to a certain distance. That was it. I had to walk the rest of the way. they weren't going to go down that road, right? It was everybody was good about it, did their thing. And,
yeah.
Like I said, the nicest people, and then to see everybody come together, you know, like even our team jerseys had to be, you know, our colors of our team jerseys didn't represent anything other than our brand. You know, there couldn't be a link to anything. And like I said, that first game, that to have those people in the building cheering that had not talked to each other in generations was wild. So
yeah, that's phenomenal.
It was cool. It was neat. Yeah. They've done great ever since. Yeah, and rightfully so. Terrific place, beautiful area, really, really neat.
Again, a little bit of a culture shock and just, you know, all about the experience. But, you know, like you mentioned, you decided to kind of come back to kind of take on that coaching role with Charlotte. Been with them for over 20 years now. They transitioned even from the ECHL up to the AHL. And now you're the senior VP of hockey ops. I'm assuming more of a fit for you and just loving what you're doing now, right?
Yeah, it's been great. You know, I was fortunate to get into the coaching, and, you know, had some great guys with me. We were we had been through a few owners here, the hockey's, it's big here too in Charlotte. I mean, it's been here since the 50s. Wonderful guy, you know, people. You know, the youth hockey girls were big into that. We had a great affiliation with the Rangers for years and years as our NHL partner, and Hartford as our American League partner. We had some deals with Ottawa and John Muckler over the time, and actually Daryl Sutter in Calgary would send us some players here and there. So we had, and that was through Tom Webster. So we had some really good relationships in the ECHL, developed a lot of good players, we had an ownership change, you know, with some different business opportunities and political things going on, and our new owner Michael Kahn came in. He was a season ticket holder. He ended up buying us and was adamant that not only were we going to be an ECHL team, but at some point he wanted to buy an American League team and an NHL team. And I'll never forget the conversation when I looked at him. I'm like, you are like, Earbuds may be the craziest man I've ever met. Like, you know, like, we're barely hanging on in the ECHL here, and you think you're going to bring in an American League team or get involved in the National Hockey League? And he was at him, and he goes, yeah, that's what I'm going to do, and you're going to help me do it. It's like, okay. So we started on our journey, and we were in the East Coast League for a couple of years, and never would dream that the American Hockey League would be an option. And he came to me and just said one day, he was just like, I need to get in the American League. This is not the league for me. And so I made a call over to, it goes full circle, over to Mr. Carmanos and Mr. Rutherford, who were in Raleigh with the Hurricanes, said, is this something that you guys think, would interest you guys? And obviously, if we're going to go to the American League in Charlotte, we need to be hooked up with you in Raleigh. That's the only thing that makes sense. And, Jim and Peter were both 100%. Not only that, I think the team that we're with in the American Hockey League with Bell, we just need to convince the American Hockey League that that's a good idea. And we did somehow. And Michael bought the Albany franchise and for the support of the Hurricanes. And we came in the American Hockey League, which has been, we've been very successful, which is a great move. The American League took a big chance because we're out of their footprint. But it's been wildly successful. We got a great group here. And when Mr. Carmanos was looking for some investors in the Hurricanes, made one call, and Michael ended up buying into the Hurricanes for quite some time. So he accomplished the things he wanted to accomplish. The last thing left on his list was a championship, which we were able to do a couple of years ago, and win a Calder Cup with the Hurricanes as an affiliate. And, so he's been able to accomplish all the things he wanted to accomplish, and I've been lucky to be here, with them the whole time. So it's been great. It's a beautiful area. I actually live just in the South Carolina, nice. In a town called Fort Mill, which is a border town, just like LaSalle would be to Windsor, and like that. So I've been in Fort Mill. I actually live in South Carolina, but Charlotte's 15 minutes away. So, that's kind of the path. That's how it kind of unfolded. And I've gone from like GM and coach to the American League. I just kind of just manage the hockey side, manage the affiliations, and in charge of all things hockey. Our business side is fantastic. We all work together. We don't have a very big staff, but my focus is the hockey side. And no idea how I've been here this long, but it's been a lot of fun.
Yeah, man. I mean, again, obviously, having a passion for the game, being able to do what you love, basically, after playing is the best thing possible, really. And the only thing I was going to try to wrap it up with was see if you ever get to come home and visit, or if when's the last time you did get home?
It's been a couple of years, unfortunately, with the COVID situation.
Yeah.
The summers, my kids love it. My whole family still lives in LaSalle.
Oh, yeah.
For the most part, they're all within a couple of streets of each other, so it's been fun to, my daughters are, their best friend's cousins are all on the same age, so when we go back, and my nieces and nephews, we have a blast. My kids, it was like an aha moment a couple of years ago. We were driving, they've been back a bunch, but every summer we go back, and then sometimes we try to get there in the winter, but we were driving across over the bridge, and I think they kind of got that they were going into a different country, but maybe not really, because we'd fly into Detroit or we'd drive, and then we actually took them for a ride down Riverside Drive, and to actually see how close, like across the river, like I'd always tell them, like it's right there, like, you know, it's right there, just for them to both kind of realize, like, holy, wow, that's like, they're right, America, yeah. Like right there, I'm like, yeah, like right there.
It looks like you can almost touch it, right?
Like an aha moment, right? They're like, oh my God. So yeah, they love it. They love going back. They get a kick out of, being half Canadian, half American.
Yeah,
so,
for sure.
But unfortunately, with COVID, we're hoping to get home like Christmas time, but things got tightened up a little more there. Then we could kind of plan on, and then my mom was actually able to get here a couple weeks ago, which was nice. She finally broke free, got to Florida for a little bit.
Nice.
So hopefully we'll get, well, not hopefully, we will get back in the summer. But we do get back.
Looks like this is the year of the return, so it's cool to hear, man. It's really a great story, and still obviously ties to the area with your family and still visiting. It's really cool to tell your story here. I just really appreciate you coming on and chatting with me.
Yeah, no, thank you. I appreciate it. Thanks for the exposure that we get and the great podcast that you have.
Huge thanks goes out to Derek Wilkinson for joining me on the Wind City Sports Podcast, all the way from North Carolina. Just outside of Charlotte, I guess. Place I'd like to visit one day. That'd be pretty cool. And to go to a Checkers game, that might be pretty wicked as well. Some cool stuff coming from that interview, of course. A lot of different things going on throughout his career and all the places he's been. But, you know, the Charlotte Checkers, formerly ECHL, get bumped up to AHL. So, you know, the whole staff makes that jump as well back when that happened. You know, pretty notable that he was able to play at that level and then, you know, kind of rise through the rankings, I guess, without even leaving his job in the team, right? So playing in the NHL, obviously, even if it's one shift, one game, one year, one whatever, always some great memories and stuff to talk about. So that's what we always love to do here on the Wind City Sports Podcast. And thanks again, Derek, for taking the time to join me and chat with me about his whole career and beyond. If you missed last week's podcast, give it a shot with Sarah Mitten, Olympic athlete, shot put thrower. And as mentioned on there, we talked about our affiliation with East Coast Lifestyle, top quality material and the best gear out there. EastCoastLifestyle.com. The link is in our bio and you can get 20% off by using our code WinCity20, all one word, for 20% off East Coast Lifestyle, available now on eastcoastlifestyle.com. They have an affiliation, a collaboration better yet, with Bauer, some good hockey gear. I got to grab some of that soon, and you'll see it on Wind City Sports Instagram for sure, at WinCity_sports. But without further ado, let's run down some local sports news that has happened in the last week. Things obviously winding down now. What a weird year it's been. Right now, it seems like I know everything is back in full swing, but obviously a lot of seasons wrapping up. We talked about the St. Clair Saints and Lancers last week, a lot of sports wrapping up with them. Although the track and field team has been doing well and claimed two medals at the U-Sport, more than that, actually, that was probably just one of the days. So we'll get into that in a little bit, but we'll talk about the Windsor Express quickly. Oh man, what a season it's been for the Windsor Express so far. On a, I think, 7-game losing streak, as I talk right now, they're actually playing one of the TBL teams with that affiliation agreement going on. So they're in Lansing playing a game against the Outsiders, I guess you can say, the Lansing Pharaohs. They have not won a game, obviously, in a long time, but they haven't won a game against a NBL of Canada team, one of the four teams, and that's kind of scary. The last game we had was this Friday at home against the Kitchener-Waterloo Titans, and tight games. Like, they're in every game. They just haven't been able to pull off a win over one of the Canadian teams and, you know, at all in a while. So not looking good for the Windsor Express, but it doesn't really matter. Every team is going to make the playoffs, and then that is a whole new ball game, right? So again, although they haven't won any of these games against the NBL teams, none of them have been blowouts. I mean, you know, some losing by 20 points or so, but a lot of them much less than that. And even against the London Lightning, one of the best teams in the league, which they did not too long ago. But coming up next, we actually have a game this Wednesday, taking on the Sudbury Five at home at the WFCU Center. Prior to that, they're going to be playing in Kitchener-Waterloo on Tuesday. So I'll see all you guys at the WFCU Center Wednesday at 7 p.m. Then they'll be on the road following that and won't be back for another 2 weeks. So nice little break there. But I'll see you guys at the WFCU Center for that 7 p.m. game against the Sudbury Five this Wednesday. Let's talk about some junior C hockey too. This Tuesday, the finals of the Stobbs division here in, you know, southwestern Ontario kick off with the Essex 73s taking on the Lakeshore Canadiens. Nearly undefeated through the regular season, the Lakeshore Canadiens, one of their only losses, not actually both of their losses in the regular season, were to Essex, another stellar team just below the Canadiens. So it's going to be a great junior C matchup. Winners will be going on to provincials, Smaltz Cup, but obviously we want to know who wins the Stobbs division and two local teams. So I should be there Tuesday night at the Atlas Tube Center for game one, 7 p.m. between the Essex 73s and Lakeshore Canadiens. They'll have a game Tuesday, Thursday at the ATC, and then head out to Essex for, I think, Friday and Sunday. the LaSalle Vipers are still in their regular season, and they will be kicking off playoffs soon enough, and we'll get you caught up with them as well. Yesterday, they took on the Markham Nationals. Speaking of junior hockey, former Leamington Flyer and Sarnia Sting and Windsor's own Hayden Hodgson made his NHL debut last week or the week before that, picking up a goal and assist in his first game with the Philadelphia Flyers. Since played a few games, but to kick off your NHL career and your debut, getting a goal and an assist, no matter what, is always memorable and it's cool stuff. Coming out of Windsor, another kid in the NHL. We talked a little bit about it last week as we had actually kind of mentioned the Saints, the St. Clair Saints basketball team, especially the men's basketball team we got to talk about. The game was going on as we were recording last week, but they did pick up a silver medal at the Nationals, creating school history, both getting the provincial silver medal and national silver medal this year is the men's St. Clair Saints basketball team. And in other news, local athlete, former NFLer and Super Bowl champion Luke Wilson podiums in a cycling race in Washington, taking on a new passion, I guess, placing third place in this Washington Open, as you can read on cyclingmagazine.ca. And to wrap things up, we'll talk about the U Sports Championship track and field in regards to our Windsor Lancers. As kind of mentioned earlier in the show, rookie Ben Tilson was named an All-Canadian in the men's 600 with a second place finish in the event. Sydney Pattison captured her second medal. Man, I'm not good with the names today. Captured her second medal of the meet with a third place finish in the women's 1500 meters. Noah Parker placed third in the men's pole vault with a bronze medal. Elsewhere in the field events, Anthony Atkinson and Zion Webb placed sixth and seventh in the men's shot put throws, and Jaden Nioff placed fifth in the women's triple jump. On the track, the Lancers men's 4x400 meters relay team of Kobe Warden, Ryan Mahaber, and Noah Waldman and Tilson placed seventh. So congratulations to our Lancers podiuming and meddling at the U Sports Championship this year. But that is all this week on the Wind City Sports Podcast, our 250th episode. We'll be back next week with a brand new episode, an interview with a local athlete, coach, or entrepreneur. Available everywhere podcasts are found, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and beyond. Check us out on social media as well, at @WindCity_sports on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and YouTube. So give us a like, follow, or subscribe, and give us a review on any podcast app you might use. Give us a rating on whatever you might use, and hopefully a good one. Tell your friends and family and teammates and training partners about the Wind City Sports Podcast. But until next time, smell you later.